Today's guest is the Chief Operating Officer of UserWay. UserWay is a digital accessibility innovator. They believe digital access is a human right and participation in society requires barrier-free access to online content for everyone. And Lionel Wahlberger has spent his career understanding the nuanced role that technology plays in global advancement. As UserWay's COO, he connects their suite of AI-powered accessibility solutions with enterprises, governments, and agencies. He is also a member of the W3C standards body where he advocates for the disability community. And he and I, we share a passion for the disability space. There's one part towards the end of the interview where I think I'm pretty vocal about where our paths diverge. And it's more of a semantic than anything else about the term differently abled and disabled. But everything else, you know, I'm so in line with what he and UserWay are doing. And it blows me away, his background. I mean, he's spoken at the UN. He's got so much knowledge. And the fact that he's giving that time and giving his knowledge to the W3C, which is the standards-making body for, you know, about making the web accessible. He's a member of that. And he's all about helping them how to create things like a future standard URL, you know, the thing that you put in your bar to what you're searching for, and a standard for AAC devices. If this is the first time you're listening, welcome, or welcome back. My name is Eric Jorgensen. I am the founder of True North Disability Planning and the host of the ABC's Disability Planning Podcast. I started this podcast to introduce you to organizations and individuals that you may not be familiar with, but who are doing amazing things in the disability space. And if you are familiar with them, my hope is to help you find ways that you can incorporate whatever they are doing into your life or the life of those that you support. Thanks for listening. Let's dive in. Welcome, everyone. Today I have with me Dr. Lionel Wahlberger. He's coming to us from Israel. He is the Chief Operating Officer of UserWay. Their mission is to make the internet more accessible for everyone, and they say they are digital accessibility innovators. So welcome, Lionel. Dr. Wahlberger, thank you for joining me.
Really good to be here, Eric. As I was telling you before we started, just I love your work, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. So let's start with, what is UserWay? What does it mean to make a web accessible? What kind of tools do you, you know, that kind of thing. Just a really big overview for people that may not be familiar with web accessibility and why it matters.
Sure. So UserWay is a full services web accessibility provider. Accessibility means being able to access services. I just went to get my passport renewed. It wasn't that easy to access that service. I had to get on the line. I had to fill out a form and I had to get a number. So when we're accessing services, there are certain steps you have to take. Now, according to the Americans with Disabilities Act, those steps have to be readily available to everybody, regardless of disability. So, for example, in the story I just told, so I had to go to the place. Well, transportation needs to be accessible. The Americans with Disabilities Act deals with that really well. So the physical office space has to be accessible. But they did ask me to fill out a form online. They literally said, you cannot pay at the station. You've got to do it on this form. So there, that was digital service. So I opened up my phone and I filled out the form. Now that, what if I was blind? How would I understand that form? So that's digital accessibility. So UserWay has a full set of services to make sure that the passport office, we deal with governments, banks, retail, wherever you're accessing services, you should be able to access that service regardless of your disabilities. And UserWay has the solutions for that, userway.org.
Awesome. And when somebody is going to a website, and they want to know if it's accessible, what should they be looking for? I mean, does the website tell them? Will it automatically? I'm assuming it doesn't automatically default to, let's say somebody's dyslexic, you know, or they have, you know, a seizure disorder and they need something with lower refresh rates or whatever, the flashing in the background. How would they go about knowing that their website's accessible?
And by the way, you are super focused on neurodiversity and those types of potential disabilities or differences in ability. So dyslexia is a very good example. So many websites can and should offer a dyslexia-friendly font. There are many people with dyslexia who benefit from such a font. So a font like that gets rid of the visual confusions that can occur. For example, it's hard to tell the difference in the English language between the L, the I, and the number one. I have trouble. So a dyslexia-friendly font can disambiguate those completely, and UseAway offers one. But dyslexia, as I'm sure you know, like autism perhaps, like many of these types of challenges, if you have 100 dyslexics, you have 100 different types of dyslexia. So the real question is, can I access this service? Can I configure it so I can use it? You know, so in the example that you used of dyslexia, some people would like to hear it while they read it. So does the site offer a screen reader? Again, UseAway offers that kind of tool, but whatever accessibility provider a site has, you might want to go multimodal, hear it while you see it. Other people with dyslexia just want to make the words bigger and have a reading guide. So that's another form of digital accessibility, a reading guide. And you can ask for these things. When you come to a website, if you find the words are jumping around a little, it's hard to read, tell them, tell the organization, I want you to have accessibility solutions, because that would drive the need from the business point of view. And businesses need to know that there are solutions. UseAway even offers some for free. So there are things a business can do to make it more accessible. But let's drive that need. Ask for what you need.
And from what I've looked on your website, and I've seen it on other websites, there's a little icon of like a rounded out stick figure, for lack of a better description. Obviously, I'm not much of an artist, but it's like a little blue body, right? With two arms, two legs, and a head. And that, if you click on that, I'm guessing that opens up a menu for different types of accessibility options, right? So that would be how somebody would interact with it, or...
Yeah, that's a great way. So it's become kind of accepted that we call it the Vitruvian Man, because there was an architect, Vitruvius, and Leonardo da Vinci drew that figure that you're seeing with the hands spread out. But that symbol has become like the accepted symbol. Like, click here and you're going to get accessibility options. And if you are accustomed to those options, you'll want them wherever you go. So you use them on websites where it's available. When it's not available, again, you can ask the company, hey, why don't you give me some more options? But Eric, you should know that a lot of those options that are made so easy to in reach with the Vitruvian Man, with the accessibility symbol, they're available in your operating system.
Okay.
Most people don't have the patience to go looking for it. But if you click that one day and go, wow, this was great. You know, I made all the fonts bigger. Well, go to a search engine and look up, how do I make all my fonts bigger, you know, on my phone or my tablet or my desktop or laptop? It's harder to do in the operating system, but you can do it. You can make things better for yourself. Some other things are not supplied by the operating system, like a reading guide that I mentioned. But operating systems will also read to you while you read. They have built-in readers. So
okay.
Go to a website, you can use the reader on the website, you can trigger that, or you can use the reader built into your computer. But as you know, Eric, all too well, people don't have the patience to go fishing around for these things.
Yeah, I certainly don't. And then for those that want to, I would even encourage them to maybe use ChatGPT or a similar AI to say, how do I do this? And you might find you get better results in using Bing or Google. Well, Bing uses AI, but Google or some of these other, you know, search engines, you know, you can actually get a literal how-to using ChatGPT. And I'm trying to encourage people with disabilities to learn how to enter prompts and become, for lack of, I guess the term is prompt engineers, because I think AI and technology is the way to go. And I think people with disabilities, and I'm taking us way off course here, I apologize, but I think people with disabilities who can work, who want to work from home and have that accessibility can do so. And but it ties in with the tool that UseAway produces, because if you can't access ChatGPT or anything else because it's not accessible, then you're not, you know, you're kind of up a creek without a paddle. You know?
You're not, like I said, I looked forward to speaking with you, because I thought the conversation, you're not off track. that we're on, because UserWay uses a lot of AI in our products, and we are leaders in it. I recently gave a talk at the United Nations on ethical AI. So I also, Eric, I'm showing all my friends how to use those new AIs that you call ChatGPT. And as you said, it's in Bing. Everybody's getting used to it. So I super agree with you. And at UserWay, we have blind people on our team, people with disabilities, and they're all using these AI tools. So AI sounds mysterious and scary. So I want to agree with you 100%. I think that would be a great question for AI. Like you can say, you know, I went to my local, or look, I went to get this passport renewed and I had trouble using the form. Write me an email to send to my congressman. And ChatGPT will do that for you and do a pretty good job of it. You should read what it writes, you know, check it, because it can go off course. But AI is a game changer. And, you know, this might be a good moment to talk about how we see disability. And it's not just us. We follow the World Health Organization, ICF. It's called the International Classification of Functionality. And it's very powerful, because we don't actually see things as a disability. We consider a three-part model. There's the individual, that could be Eric or a friend of yours, and there's the task they want to do, and then there's the environment they do it in. So for example, when I travel to another country, I have a simple task. As I just told you, I went to Vienna to speak at the United Nations. I could not find the local bus, because when I spoke in English, the people didn't understand me. So I was disabled in that environment, because I am the same individual. The task is well understood by me, but the environment changed and I could not succeed. So when you look at it that way, an individual has a task in a certain environment, that's where you see the power of all this AI that we're seeing. It's not just ChatGPT. Do you know that when you take a picture with your telephone, there are, I believe, 19 AI processes involved there to make that picture come out amazingly. And it's not just a photo. Your smart alarms, climate control, everyone I know is using voice assistants, right? Hey, Siri, tell me what to say to Eric.
Do you want to send it or change it?
So she got confused by that one. But my friends, and particularly people with disabilities, they're using these voice assistants and they're great.
Well, and the science shows, at least from the studies that I've read and stuff, that a lot of the, in air quotes, accessible tools or accessibility adaptations or whatever you want to call them, end up benefiting people that don't have disabilities. Curb cuts are a big one that are often referenced, you know, the fact that you put a curb cut in makes it easy for a lot more people. So, you know, I imagine with a tool, with something like UserWay running in the background, we're going to find people who maybe they don't have a formal diagnosis, or they don't see themselves as disabled, but they may find they use these tools for bigger print because they're getting older, their eyes are weak or whatever, or just some fonts are less annoying than others. I mean, you know, it's, I can see a lot of people using this, but it goes back to, like you were saying, the businesses have to use it. And there's a use case for this. Again, I was doing some research, and, you know, there is a lot of money left on the table by businesses not making their websites accessible. You know, 1 in 4 people in the United States have some type of disability. I don't think any company or board is going to say, let's just ignore 25% of our consumer base. So right. I guess my question would be, do you think, I'm trying to be careful how to word this, but do you think companies are doing this willfully, where they're not making their websites accessible? Or, you know, so if somebody did have ChatGPT write up an email for them and they sent it, or they, you know, every website has a contact us, or you get a survey for what your experience was like. Do you think people have to be worried about getting negative reactions when they send something like, make my website more accessible? Because I'm sure people out there are going to be hesitant to say, well, I don't want to ask because I don't want to be verbally beat up or whatever. You know what I'm asking, Lionel?
I believe so. The businesses need to be accessible. And you brought up like 10 different topics in how you just covered that. So let me just jump in on one and you come back at me again. Because like you mentioned curb cuts. So for those who may not know that shorthand term, it was a tremendous battle to get sidewalks to be wheelchair accessible. A long and terrible civil rights fight. And it ended up in passing the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, the people who build roads and the cities who build them resisted for all that time because they said it's very expensive. And who's going to use it? How many wheelchair users are there? Now that we've passed that and we live in a world with curb cuts, which is that gentle ramp at the end of a sidewalk, we all use them, as you're referring to. Skateboard rider, mother with a stroller, bicycle, you're wheeling one of those bags that has two wheels, or just you're walking and you don't want to get that little step. You want to go down the curb cut. So that has become curb cut, as you said, Eric, and I'm sure people listen to your podcast hear that all the time. But it's become a way of saying, when we do things for the disabled, we end up helping everyone. Now, I mentioned we brought up like 10 topics because you also mentioned we're all aging. So the group of people that are disabled, it's the one group that you are sure to become a member of. You just have to live long enough, you know? So we look for curb cuts in what we do. Another recent curb cut you might notice is everyone watches TV now with the subtitles on,
yes.
Right? I do.
Yes.
I like it. Now, those also are only there because of years of activism and agitation by the deaf community. They could not hear what was being said. And they finally developed closed captions. And then in parallel, artificial intelligence became so effective that you can automatically write captions, which, by the way, for many years were called craptions because they were so bad. But they're pretty good now. Even in this podcast, I suppose when you post it, you could turn on the captioning and people will read what we're saying without you taking any additional action. That's another example of a curb cut. People may not even realize anymore. Subtitling and captioning is there because of activism by the deaf community. And now we all benefit. There are so many examples like that. I'll give you one more. This one, the websites, for them to be accessible, and this is the specialization of UserWay, for them to be digitally accessible, they need to have headings. Now, let's say you mentioned 1 out of 4 people or 1 out of 5 people, depending how you look at it, is considered disabled. But that means 3 out of 4 aren't. So what are those 3 out of 4? They go to websites, they read them all the time. Some words are bigger, some words are smaller. And you're used to just jumping around because the bigger ones are headings and you know where you are. Well, if the person making the website simply made it bigger, just in how it looks, then someone who's blind is using an assistive technology or an artificial intelligence, that process has a hard time figuring out where the headings are. So a website owner has to mark it with what's called a semantic marking, meaning you want to give the words meaning, semantic meaning, a meaning of what is the knowledge, what is the function of the word. So they actually mark up, that's what we call it. And I'm using my hands because there's a markup at the beginning that says I'm a heading one. And then a markup at the very end says that's the end of heading one. Now, you don't see that markup, but my blind friends, they're using a screen reader. And that screen reader says heading one. And they're looking for what are the headings. They're hearing it read to them. So a website owner needs to do their semantic markup to make sure the site is accessible. And if they don't, then it very often will not be accessible. So that's another thing you made me think of in those 10 things that you just threw out there. And to kind of throw the ball back to you, when you go to a website, it should be accessible and you should not have to click anything. So we love those little Vitruvian men's. We love being able to click and say, you know, give me a reading guide, make the font larger, give me contrast. But you, according to the law, you can't make separate but equal access. You can't ask blind people to do something extra. They have to have the same means as everyone else. And UserWay uses this in all that it does. If you go to a site that has UserWay, or if you ask any business to put UserWay on their site, then I want you to know that a person who's deaf or motor impaired, a motor impaired person won't be using the pointer. They won't be swiping on the screen. A blind person will not be moving their finger on a screen or a trackpad. They're going to be using other means. And UserWay makes sure that those other means work on the site. In other words, the same site is accessible to all. And that's another important value that we have in digital accessibility.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lionel. I appreciate that. And, you know, the reason I wanted you on the podcast is because there are a lot of parents who are starting businesses, especially nonprofits, where they have a website and they're trying to oftentimes help their child find employment. But the bottom line is they're starting these businesses and they're putting websites out there. And I'd rather have somebody get involved by making their website accessible in the beginning, instead of trying to years and years down the road, you know, having to go in and maybe it won't require that much cleanup, but getting in there and then saying, well, how am I going to fit all this in? I don't know how I'm going to get to it. Whereas I feel like if they can bring you in kind of early on with, you know, maybe have you work with the, and I don't, again, I'm showing ignorance here. I don't know how much work you'd have to do if somebody was paying somebody like I did to build my website. I think it's pretty, from your website, it looks like you just sign up and it just runs in the background. It doesn't look like they have to hire a developer to do anything. Am I right there? I mean, it's all pretty.
Yeah, look, bad news, Eric, and everybody, some bad news. You know, you buy a car and you expect that it's going to have seatbelts and protect you. And so, you know, I love what you just said. And UserWay serves small and medium business and mom and pop and one person businesses all the time. And our solutions are tailored to that. So you go out, you've decided you want to do something. And so you go out and get a website, like you get a car. So you figure it's just going to work. But accessibility isn't like the seatbelts. It's like car seats, Eric. It's car seats. You know, you bought a car, but you have a kid, you got to get a car seat. And, you know, it's funny to me. I was recently thinking, nobody says, why don't cars carry children? Why not? Well, they don't. You have to buy a car seat. And so in a similar spirit, unfortunately, maybe, because people expect it. Look, there is a downside. There's risk. If you're not accessible, you might get sued. And it has nothing to do with the size of your business. You can be a $1 billion company or a $1 million company. You can be literally a hamburger joint or a world-spanning enterprise. You can get sued. And at UserWay, I head that department. And every time they say, but I ordered this website. Why wasn't it accessible? So maybe we can get that message out, not so much to your end users, who, by the way, I just want to tell them, ask everybody to be accessible, write to customer support, say, be accessible, you know, make sure you're accessible. But this is a different message. If you're a business owner, you think you're accessible, it's car seats. No, unfortunately, you need an accessibility provider. We would love for the car, or rather, I'll quit with the metaphor. We'd love for the website that you ordered to just be accessible. And we're working towards that. But the web is such a fertile, fast-moving place. You know, we finally get this one template that all the developers are using. You know, I don't know if your listeners know, but when you order a website, either you get it from a platform like WordPress or other providers, or you hire a developer. What they may not realize is that developer will take these other templates. People are all reusing all this stuff today. And we finally get one thing accessible, but boom, you wake up and some new thing was made somewhere and it's not made for access to everyone, because the deepest, deepest challenge we have, Eric, is getting people not just to make things for their friends, but to make things for everybody and to think ahead. You know, boy, this is the cool, like carousels became popular like 10 years ago where the images go by, right? Everything's got a carousel. They look great. They're exciting for sighted people. Carousels are a nightmare for non-sighted people. And so I think that that might help your listeners to understand that it's car seats. And you just like you need to buy a car seat if you want to take a kid in a car, you need to buy accessibility currently for your website.
I love that analogy, Lionel. I mean, I hadn't thought of it like that until you said it, but like it clicked right away. You know, like my car has a butt warmer, which I love. You know, I'm broken. I'm never going back. I'm always going to have a car with a butt warmer, but I've never seen a car with a built-in car seat. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, why not? It's so amazing. If you want more trunk space, I mean, it's like those Transformer movies. The seats go down. This thing, it's unbelievable. But to get the seat to go up a little for my 4-year-old, no, couldn't figure out how to do that one.
And then, you know, in a perfect world, to your point, we would have the Wix, the Squarespace, the WordPress. They would have the option, you know, because if you're building a personal website or whatever, maybe you don't, I would argue you would still want to make it accessible, but whatever. But, you know, building that upcharge, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a super big upcharge. They could work with UserWay and then pass the savings to because just by sheer volume, you know, find a way. I don't know. I mean, if you're out there and you are on the board or, you know, head honcho of any of the big, you know, Wix, WordPress, Squarespace, any of those, reach out. You know, I'm sure Lionel would love to talk, or somebody from UserWay would love to talk to you and find a way to make this, you know, make this more like seatbelts instead of car seats.
Yeah, well, we're ahead of you. We've spoken to all of them, and we're in the Wix store. We're in the Squarespace. You can add UserWay very easily. I guess the thing you need to know, though, is that you need to add it. Also, Eric, we speak to the developers at these companies because we would love for it to just be accessible. And this might be a good moment to point out that it's hard. So I won't say which one. You mentioned a few of those web platforms. We are actually very involved with one of them, and we know they've been working for years to try to get their stuff to be accessible, and it's still not. So there's something difficult in this challenge. And I mentioned to you when we got on the call, I noticed that you had a background in the service. It's a leadership role that you played. And I happen to know that you focus on leadership and mentoring, technical expertise, operational readiness. You know, these are ideas that you were super comfortable in your service. So I thought it might be fun to actually talk about this challenge in those terms. So just like leadership and mentorship, that's where you have to start. You know, so does the leader of Wix, is he demanding that Wix be accessible? Well, you know, no. When he started out, it wasn't. So how do we move the needle and get them to provide that leadership and mentorship? Now, UserWay, we're doing our part. UserWay donates my time. I also serve on an organization called the W3C. Your users might know WWW, World Wide Web. W3C is the World Wide Web Consortium. And it's where we make the standards that ensure that the web will be accessible. So we're constantly moving more towards the car seat model there. And that's leadership and mentoring. And UserWay also gives time to nonprofits. And we help make sure that they are accessible. So I think if we want to really move the needle across everything, we need to go to the leaders and the mentors and get them to think this way. And it's not a simple task, but you're accustomed to non-simple tasks. I mean, you face some pretty hard ones.
Thank you. And the listeners out there who are like, well, okay, I hear all that, Lionel, but how does that relate to me? Well, all of us have a network and we're all connected to somebody. And, you know, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever it was called, where you only needed, you know, 6 people to tie back to a film that Kevin Bacon was in. Well, by the same token, it's my belief that we are only 6 degrees from anybody, at least, you know, at the most 6 degrees from somebody who can have an impact on this. So maybe you don't yourself know somebody, a decision maker at one of these companies, but I guarantee you somebody in your network does. You know, and I'm not asking you to be icky or pushy. but conversations, this is how having the conversation, letting people know that this is what you want, that's how things get momentum, is you have to say, hey, it would be really be nice if dot, dot, dot. You know, strollers nowadays, going back to the baby in a car seat, you look at what they have nowadays compared to what they had, you know, 20 years ago. And these things are like Cadillacs now. But it came because consumers were asking for it.
Yeah. And also innovators innovated. There are certain, you know, it's a famous story in the design world that nobody asked for the iPod. Steve Jobs kind of figured we need that. And that's an example of UserWay's leadership here, putting out the accessibility friendly font for everybody, putting on every website a lookup function. We're using voice navigation. That's another innovation by UserWay. So UserWay is continually innovating and trying to think ahead. What do users want that they're not actually asking for? But to stay on your theme of 6 degrees, you know, it's kind of like the old days of chain letters, right? Did you ask one business to be more accessible? You know, like you go lately, we used to order food from menus, right? Now it's kiosks, right? But, you know, ask that business, can a blind person use this kiosk? You know, and they should. And then, look, I'm all for, if I can say so, tell them, userway.org. It's easy. Userway.org, easy. But I'm here, like you said, to raise awareness. So keep it general if you want. But just say, I would like you to be sure that a blind person can use this, because I will enjoy eating here more if I know that you're providing equal access. You know, and cycling back to, we talked about neurodiversity and other types of cognitive challenges. I'm having trouble understanding this. You can say that without, that was another thing, and I said, you said 10 things at one time. One thing you triggered in me was you were touching on why people don't self-label. And right at the beginning of my involvement in W3C, I was very interested in veterans with post-traumatic stress syndrome who don't want to see violent or overly dynamic content because it's upsetting and it can cause them to not be able to engage. I officially listed the issue. And then as we moved it forward, we found out it's one of the most complex disabilities to engage with because the people don't tell themselves that they have it. They will not reveal that they have it. And it remains something that's difficult to work with. But look, my eyesight started going a little when I entered my 40s, and I didn't like admitting that. So you touched on that point, and that's another reason why we just want it built in. So you know what? You don't even have to admit it to yourself. But you can make that font a little bigger, and you can ask your service providers to be accessible. When they fill out those surveys, this could be the Eric Jorgensen movement. Just add 3 words, you know, make it accessible.
Thank you, Lionel. And I did make a totally rookie mistake there by throwing so much information out there in one question. So I appreciate you being able to keep up. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
You know, I did want to bring up that when I was looking at your website, I think if I remember correctly, you had something in there where you have a UserWay for MS Office. Can you tell me about that? Or did I read wrong?
Sure. Very good. So getting back to and by the way, this is the first, that car seat thing just came out with talking to you. So I'm really loving this. So, you know, you're writing a document in Microsoft Word, right? We all use it, or the equivalent on Macintosh. It's called Pages. And then you save it and it's got the save as PDF and you think you're done, mission done. But frankly, it's upsetting on some level, Eric. The PDF doesn't retain the semantic information. So wow. You went to all this trouble maybe. You didn't just make the headings bigger. Remember I mentioned before, you actually called it a heading in Word because Word does that, right? So it's heading one, heading two. Some people use that because they know how to use it in outline mode. Those are semantic markings. Then you save as PDF and it's gone. Now there's a reason why, okay? The people who made PDF weren't seeking to harm our society. They were concerned with a different problem, which is every printer works differently. And printing in the end is dots of ink on a page. Let's get the dots in the right place. PDF solved that. It stands for Portable Document Format. I suspect, because you've got kind of the same hairline I have, that you remember those dot matrix printers and early laser printers. So that was a huge achievement. If you had a PDF, you knew it would come out no matter what printer you used. But by definition, it's just where are the dots? That's all it knows. Now imagine you're blind. You don't care where the dots are. You want it read to you. And so then you have to do optical character recognition. And so PDFs need to be accessible by law, and UserWay came with solutions for that. So Microsoft Word does not make it accessible off the bat. By the way, they are in parallel also working. I would say, Eric, that all players in this space are streaming to the same goal, to more and more accessibility. But as I pointed out earlier, this constantly new innovation, it's not accessible. So it's kind of like, you know, people like to, we cite only 3% of websites are accessible, which sounds awful. But if you look at raw numbers, there's 100 million websites today, you know? So there are a lot of accessible websites. I'd like to look at the positive side. So on the positive side, these programs like Microsoft Word, Macintosh Pages, they're trying to work harder and harder to make sure that the PDF comes out accessible, but they still haven't done it. And so UserWay came in with their solution, which is called UserWay for Microsoft for Office, UserWay for Office. And you get a new toolbar. And when you're ready to save as PDF, it goes through and just checks this, and then the PDF is accessible. And if you can't do either of those, and we have this now, it's a huge source of activity in the market, Eric. There are companies with literally millions of PDFs. Imagine a bank. They put out a PDF a month for you, you know? And so all those PDFs have to be accessible. So, I mean, as a business, we love it. You know, bring us all your million PDFs. We'll make them accessible for you. But we're trying to move that buck upstream. We're trying to get you to create it off the bat so that there's equal access for all people. And I'd love it if we could move away from this word disability. I'm not big on if we change the words, we change reality. Okay, I'm not big on that. But people don't like to be thought of as disabled. So let's just, you know, more equal access for the differently abled, make it easier to make the font bigger, easier to read it with your eyes and hear it, easier to get at these accommodations. That would be a great change.
I will agree with you on the, to some degree. So I don't like the term differently abled or special needs or any other euphemism. That's just my bias. I agree with you. People don't like to think of themselves as disabled. You know, I've disclosed, according to the VA, I'm 90% disabled, and you know, I have my challenges, but I don't identify as having a disability. But I think to your point, the bigger point, not, you know, take words and semantics aside, but the bigger point of, let's just make everything more accessible, regardless of whether it's because we're making it more accessible because somebody has an air quotes disability, or because we're making it more accessible because we want more business, then, you know, change the focus to, we want to make our documents and our websites available to as many consumers as possible, period. Don't put a little disclaimer. Don't put anything on there because they have disabilities or because they are, you know, whatever, because we want more business or because we want to better serve our customers. I mean, I think about what you were saying about PDFs and banks. My mind went to financial advisors and attorneys and how many documents they create and how much, you know, that's just like a nightmare waiting to hang, you know, and I'm sure there's compliance or other reasons. But realtors are another one, right? You know, all these industries where are you saying people, you know, who are visually impaired don't buy homes? Are you saying they don't make estate plans? They don't do financial planning? You know, all of those things. It's disingenuous, I think, to believe that you're not, that what you do doesn't, you know, you don't have to be accessible because you don't have any interaction with somebody who might need an accommodation. But no, other than all that, I think I warned Shawnee, before when she scheduled this, I tend to go on these rants. So I appreciate your good humor, though.
That wasn't very ranty. You're going to have to up the volume, Eric. It was so reasonable. We get a lot of real estate PDFs. They're a challenge to make accessible because they have floor plans. So that's a good moment where we can explain more about what it means if something's accessible. So you're looking at a floor plan and they're hard to understand, you know? And if you were using a screen reader, then it would give you the main point. It would say large living room, outside balcony. It's not going to actually read to you every square foot because that's not useful to a person listening to the screen reader. Also, one other service we offer which helps our customers, and it's really one of the privileges of working where I work, is to see how blind people actually use these tools. They run that screen reader at an extraordinary speed. Always a surprise when you first hear it. They get accustomed to hearing it read extremely rapidly. And it seems like a superhuman feat. But that was one podcast I dipped into with your Inspiration Porn podcast. That was a really interesting one. So we listen to the screen reader going so fast, and then we think, oh, this blind person has superpowers. But they don't. They have human powers. We're all human powered. And we just do things differently.
Awesome. So I want to be respectful of your time. Where can we've mentioned userway.org is the website. Are you on all the social medias? I'll have links to those in the show notes. Was there anything I should have asked that I didn't ask? Any oh by the ways or gotchas?
Yeah. So, by the way, I thank you so much for the links. That would be great. We do love the conversation, though. We love fostering collaboration between more and more people and getting united around this vision of diversity and inclusion. The more people that we can bring in, the stronger we are in the end. Since you ask, I think one thing we left out was just as the car doesn't have a car seat, when you get in an accident, and I hope you don't, but then a lot of things start working in the background, things that have been set up for that situation, because it's going to happen. And, you know, there was like no fault, which was a big step forward, because before that, anyone that was in an accident was right away, I have to prove it wasn't my fault because otherwise I don't get my money back. They realized that was really slowing things down. So they made this no fault. And then they made a rule that everyone has to have insurance, things like that. So if you do get sued, and I'm sure some of your listeners have experienced that, reach out to a provider like UserWay, and we have userway.org/legal, and we will advise your counsel, because it turns out that this corner of the law, Eric, is very complex, and most businesses have their own family lawyer. You know, if you're a small business, you're probably calling a cousin or somebody who helped you once.
Or LegalZoom or something, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're a large business, you have a general counsel. If you're super big, then you have an IP lawyer, intellectual property lawyer, you have a corporate lawyer. But the interesting thing is none of them know the details of accessibility law. There are, we call it the triangle. You need legal knowledge, how the law references the standard. You need standards knowledge, because literally a lot of the claims are false. Some of these are lawsuits that are just bogus. They're copy-paste. So you need, and we didn't mention that very much. So the W3C, I mentioned that before, where I serve on the Accessibility Platform Architectures Working Group. And we love acronyms. There is the APA, WG. We have that knowledge about the standards. And then finally, you need very technical knowledge as well. So you asked, what did we leave out? So we left that out, that if you are in a situation, and by the way, vice versa, if you're fed up with a provider, you know, let's say you are, disabled in a certain way, and it's the only place you want to buy your things from this provider, and their website is not usable, and you decide to sue them. Either way, you'll need somebody who understands the details, the fine details of accessibility and how it is enshrined in law, which is there's a standard W3C, it's called the WCAG 2.1 AA, and then there's a law that points to the standard. And it ends up being quite complex, and UserWay helps our customers with those things should they occur as well.
And for any geeks out there that want to do a super deep dive into this, I'll include links to the W3C and WCAG standard, and I'll let you nerd out to your heart's content.
UserWay.org/university. We have good summaries and self-training materials, and you can get rolling.
Man, you guys have everything. Now, this has been fantastic, Lionel. Thank you very much for joining me and sharing everything going on with UserWay. And again, for the listeners, don't listen to, you know, I'm hoping that you're not listening and going, well, this is great, Eric, but it doesn't really apply to me because I don't have a website or I don't have a business and I don't want a business. But you are a consumer. I don't think there's anybody listening to this. If you're listening to a podcast, I have a hard time believing you're not a consumer of something digital on your phone, your iPad, or your computer. And since we're all digital consumers, we should all care about accessibility.
Well said. If you're struggling to use a site, complain. Empower, you have the power to demand accessibility. You can say, you don't need any excuse. You just say, I'm having trouble reading this. You know, remember a few years ago, suddenly there was all the rage that the fonts were light gray. Do you remember that? Yeah. That was terrible in my eyes. I had trouble reading that and I complained. Another thing working on a W3C is that there'll be a standard URL. So that every website you'll go to /accessibility, and there you'll be able to say, I can't do this or I can't do that. That's not a standard yet, Eric. We're working on that.
No, future standard.
That's a future standard. And by the way, I noticed you had another podcast where you talked about AAC, Alternative and Augmentative Communication. So I was excited to tell you we're working on a standard for that too. And we're going to help AAC users, those are people who have trouble speaking, and I like your focus on the listeners. So people listening to this, it may happen to you at some point. You know, you come out of an operation, you temporarily can't speak, or could be even permanently. So there is a whole community of AAC, and they'll give you pictures with which to communicate. So we're now standardizing that so you'll be able to use them on the World Wide Web. And if you learn one set of symbols in one setting, you'll be able to translate those symbols to another setting. Because I don't know if you know, there are different symbol sets. So we're calling it symbol intertranslation. That's something else that UserWay donates my time. And it's a privilege to work with people on setting those standards as well. And that's the good news. The good news is there's people like you, Eric, all these people thinking ahead. What do we need to be a society of 10 billion people, of which 1 out of 4 are, we could consider, disabled? There are people who are blind, people who are deaf. How do they participate with all of us to make this a world worth living?
And I think that's the perfect way to end this, how to make this a world worth living. Thank you again, Lionel.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for listening to this interview with Dr. Wahlberger. I think UserWay is onto something. I really love what they're doing. You know, Lionel is also, I didn't mention it in his intro, or it didn't come up during the interview, but he's also a member of the Forbes Technology Council. And when you go to userway.org and you look at all the things that they're doing, you don't have to own a business to want the web to be more accessible. And the things that they're doing, I think it would be nice if it was just standard. But, you know, like the analogy we used of the car seat versus seatbelts in cars, unfortunately, the internet has not made accessibility a standard like a seatbelt is. It really is an add-on like a car seat. And, you know, businesses are on their own to go find these solutions. And it can be hard to figure out what should we use or who should we go to. And I'm not telling you to use UserWay, but I want you to understand the impact that making your website accessible, what it can have for people. And as a consumer, how important it is to get your voice heard to say, hey, I can't use your website, especially for state governments, county governments, things like that, or you know, big box stores, or anywhere you go where you do all your shopping, or that you would like to shop, but you can't shop online because you can't access the website, so you have to go in store. Reach out to them. You know, you don't have to beat them about the head and the shoulders saying, you're violating ADA, I'm gonna sue you. No, reach out and start gently. Honey, you know, you attract more flies with honey than vinegar, or whatever the saying is. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed recording it. If you haven't yet, please consider hitting subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Leave me a comment, a review. It helps me make the show better. If you don't want to make a public review, even anonymously, send me an email, eric@speciallyneedsnavigator.us. I'm always open to the feedback. Thanks for listening.